Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 20. The Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Verse 220, 385 to 397. Just as there's an orbit of the sun, there's an orbit of Krishna's pastimes, which are manifested one after the other. During the lifetime of 14 manus, this orbit expands throughout all the universes, and gradually it returns. Thus, Krishna moves with his pastimes through all the universes, one after another. Krishna remains within the universe for 125 years, and he enjoys his pastimes both in Vrindavan and Dwarka. The cycle of his pastimes turns like a wheel of fire. Thus, Krishna exhibits his pastime one after the other in every universe. Krishna's pastimes, appearance, childhood, boyhood, and youth are all manifested. Beginning with the killing of Putana and extending to the end of the Moshala Leela, the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. All of these pastimes are rotated in every universe. Since all Krishna's pastimes are taking place continuously, at every moment some pastime is existing in one universe or another. Consequently, these pastimes are called eternal by the Vedas and Puranas. The spiritual abode known as Goloka, which is a pasturing land for Sarabi cows, is as powerful and opulent as Krishna. By the will of Krishna, the original Goloka and Gokula dhams are manifested with him in all the universes. The eternal pastimes of Krishna are continuously taking place on the original Goloka Vrindavan planet. These same pastimes are gradually manifested within the material world in each and every Brahmananda. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elucidates this complicated explanation of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are always present in the material world, in one of the many universes. These pastimes appear in the universe one after another, just as the sun moves across the sky and measures the time. Krishna's appearance may be manifested in this universe at one moment, and immediately after his birth, his pastime is manifested in the next universe. After his killing of Putana is manifest in this universe, it is next manifest in another universe. Thus, all the pastimes of Krishna are eternally existing both in the original Goloka Vrindavan planet and in the material universes. The 125 years calculated in our solar system to be Krishna's lifetime equal one moment for Krishna. One moment, these pastimes are manifest in one universe, and the next moment, they are manifest in the next universe. There are unlimited universes, and Krishna's pastimes are manifested one moment after the other in all of them, right? So a moment is 1/11th of a second. That's what we can perceive, like that. So as one moment finishes here, that moment moves to the next universe. And so like that, it's just going on. That's what it says, like waves, or like when the sun moves, it's measuring the time, but it's not, how you say, it itself is just steadily moving. And you just see it here, then there. Yes.
All right, so, based on what you're saying, this and what you mentioned last night before we closed the class, Krishna manifests in all the universes his pastime, but, and then simultaneously performs his pastimes in the Lord. Now, his eternal associates are doing exactly the same.
Yes.
So there is a constant duplicates.
Yes. Because there's something that's there. Prabhu mentioned it the other day. I remember, I think it was in Brahma Samhita you were saying, is that there's two ways of looking at it. Gokula, Goloka means, how you say, Goloka is extended, is manifest in Gokul. But as you saw when it was Lord Chaitanya's explaining it, he's explaining it, it's just part of Goloka.
Yes.
That's the other.
Yes.
So the whole point is we tend to, because of our idea of time and space, is okay, it's there, and then, you know, something is, it's kind of like you have a, you know, like an embassy or something like that. You can explain to people, get an idea, because they can relate to that. But actually, it's the same place. Brahma Samhita is making that very clear. To the residents of Vrindavan, in Goloka, that for them, it's one place. It's just there's a higher manifestation, a lower manifestation. But it's Goloka that's the manifest. It's not a separate entity. So the pastimes are always going on in Goloka, and they're always going on in Gokul. So it's the same. It's the same place. So it'll have the same associates. You know, just as Krishna expands, they can also expand by Krishna's grace.
So you mentioned after Dantavata, it's uppercut, and he winds up this pastime, and from Goswami literally, he sends everybody back.
That's for us is like that. No, but no, they continue there. It's just like now. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on now.
Right.
You know, I remember, you know, it's first in Mayapur, then Jai Patakamaraj was talking about there's a road at the back of the lotus. So what's there now? Oh, it's the temple, where Lord Chaitanya's temple is, right? So it'd be from there, and it comes across over on the other side of this wall, and that area there, and goes on. And that's what he goes on in his Samkirtan pastime. Because he used to be able to say, you know, what's where and this and that, and he was always absorbed in that. So, they're always going on. We don't see them because they're aprakat, but they're going on. So when they're manifest, prakat, then you see what's going on. But at the same time, as you see, is that the two are going on at once. So that's why when it's a regular pastime, it's fine. But then you see when Krishna leaves, then the difference between the prakat and aprakat will be different. Like that. But the same, it's the same moods and all that are going on. We see also in the Lalita Madhava, then they're bringing out some other very, very far out elements. You know, like that, how Radharani and the gopis go to meet Krishna. Like that. And so then, the point is it's not limited by time and space. So it's the same place performing the pastimes, you know, as is the Lord's pleasure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not like a franchise or something like that. Or
no. You buy a franchise to get a Goloka.
Yeah. But point is, it's part of there, not that is part of here. Because we tend to, so that's why you also have those problems when, you know, saying where the living entity is coming from and all that. Because if it's the same place, then it's there. So the point is that neutral mood that's coming from Mahavishnu. But if you take and move forward like that, then you go into the pastimes as underneath whoever you're working with. But you have to move forward for that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you come into a company and all the new recruits are all there and, you know, somebody's taking care of all that. But as you then establish yourself in that, now you start to work under people who are actually part of the scene. Does that make sense?
It actually makes sense because when Rupa Goswami mentions the five items, the five angles, worshipping the Dham. You know, the fact that you worship the Dham, it means there is a presence there.
Mm-hmm.
Pastimes are going on.
Yes.
And the idea is to realize that the pastimes are going on. If there was no pastime, it's just a piece of land.
Yes. You know, so it's not just, okay, Krishna stepped on it, so it's sacred.
Right.
That's a tirtha.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The dham means it's going on. Because the point is, as was brought up before, Sarup Siddhi means appreciating the dham. Because then you actually understand, as a servant, how you fit in and how you can serve. You know, we're used to this sahajya concept of self-centeredness, where it's about who I am and what do I do and what you know, what are my perks, and you know, do I get dental with this, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Instead of the service.
Yeah. So the point is you serve in an environment, not that you are the service.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, this is not, what do you call it? What is it? You know, how you say Miss America here or something. You know, be the crown, you are the crown. Yeah, this is not what we're doing.
This is very nicely exemplified with the custom of Shaman and the Pandita.
Hmm.
You know, the sweeping the queen, and Radharani leads that.
Yeah, the ankle bells there.
You know, the whole custom.
Yes.
Lalita comes, and Radharani comes, and it's uppercut, uppercut.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that it's within Krishna's control. Yoga Maya is taking care of this. So that's why you have that pastime of Rupa Goswami, it's just the Goswamis, when they're sitting and absorbed in Krishna, they're seeing the apricot lila.
Yes.
So that's the point, is that if you respect the dham, then you can become part of that. Because you're not going to be a servant in space. I mean, of course, we could go down, and I'm sure we could arrange. You could get a nice poster made with yourself there, with the cloud and the Om sign and all that. You know, then that would work very nice. You know, but in reality, it's no. You're part of a scene. You know, and it's not that you come in and push people out of the way, and here I am. You know, you're going to fit in wherever you fit. You know, everybody's unique. That's the point. Each jiva is unique. So then, their particular position and how they'll be take part in the pastime will be unique. So when you're dealing with eternity, there's always going to be some time when that aspect becomes a prominent aspect, but it has to be within that context. So if you're working with eternity, you don't have this impatience and other things that we have, and you've already attained perfection, so it's not a matter of something to gain. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, then, you know, it all works very nicely. So that's the whole point. That's why the first point is, we're the servant of Krishna. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. So if we're servant of Krishna, that takes the care of the nimitta aspect, or the jiva maya, and we're not this body, that takes care of the upadana. So that means you're not connected with or controlled by the material energy. That's the first thing. And so that's the position, or that's the mood or attitude. Then everything else comes. So if you are a servant, you're a servant as a servant of the servant of the servant, so then you're going to be behind whoever it is you're assisting. And so like that, then that's, so that whole thing, there's a yogpeet, and you, so therefore you'll fit into the yogpeet. It's not that you're just going to, you know, like a little puff of smoke, and there you are, you know? you know? So that aspect is that this spiritual position of Goloka, then it's just, he's always moving. So he's always moving in his own realm. So it's not that it's a separate realm. It's the same, because wherever he is, then, you know, that's the point made to Lord Chaitanya. Wherever you are, that's Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever Krishna is, that's Vrindavan. He's performing his pastimes. So he takes on a different mood. As we said, you know, in the what was it, the, here, right? The Prabhava Prakasha, like this, or Vaibhava Prakash aspects, then you have a different flavor and things like that. But you see is that, in the drama, then Rupa Goswami is not making so much of a difference there.
Mm.
You know? Like that. But Lord Chaitanya pointed out, it's different. But at the same time, they're not different. So you see, Krishna, he's there in wherever he is, in Mathura Dwarka. And this drama is going on about Vrindavan Leela. And he himself is so impressed with himself and the wonderfulness of the pastimes, and like this, he wants to go and meet Radharani, and Uddhava has to say, no, these are actors. Like that. So you have this whole nice mood going on. So the point is if you're absorbed in Krishna, you're already there. It's just a matter of how much you're there.
Your consciousness, the intensity.
Yeah. It's just to be, is fully conscious and fully able to take part. Otherwise, then you're doing what you can. But otherwise, we tend to, because of this time and space, we make too much difference. And that's not so good. Mm-hmm. You know? Is that?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why is Dwarka Krishna talking about how he misses Radharani and we did so many wonderful things and this drama is so special, you know, best day of my life, you know, that kind of stuff? Because otherwise, if completely different, then it was kind of like, meh, you know. So that aspect has to be appreciated. That yes.
Krishna is doing the same pastime from one universe to another one.
Yes.
Can we say that sometimes there are descriptions in the scripture for different detail? So it is like it is...
That's cultivated. Kalpa Veda.
Kalpa Veda.
Kalpa means a different day of Brahma.
Yes.
So then there's some difference in the different day.
No, different. I say the pastime may appear a little different according to different books. Is it because it's like always, we can say, it's always new?
You always have that, it's new, but also people are standing in different places, no? No? Yeah, no, it's always. I mean, it's even if you have a bunch of people in the same place at the same time and they all explain what happened. You know, it's just like you have to hand it to Satsrup Maharaj for his work, you know, how he put all that together, because you're going to have each devotee is going to be telling something totally different of what happened and all that. So I wouldn't worry about that. You know, there's also the same pastime is happening, but there's going to be variety.
Yes.
You know, because like the Bhagavatam is explaining, but the point is Krishna was there for how many years?
125.
Yes. So that means 125 years of pastimes are being explained in a few days.
Yes.
So you're going to pick major aspects.
Yes.
So the major act, they're going to be there, just like we saw. There's differences in how he comes and dresses up as Abhimanyu.
Yes.
So it's not that it happens once. It's so good. Why wouldn't you want to do that again? You know? So you're going to have these things happening again and again. You know what I'm saying? Just like when they have the Ras Lila, there'll be some difference. Because if they're having every night, then there's going to be a difference. How they're dressed, how they go out, how it's a full moon, they may have to go out differently than if it's a dark moon. If it's full moon, they wear white. If it's dark moon, they wear dark colors.
Mm-hmm. In the Krishna Bhavanamrita, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakura mentions five different pastimes in the afternoon.
Mm.
In the same hour bracket.
Because what I remember is that these things, every 20 minutes, it's a new pastime.
Yeah.
So even when they roll, like at Radhakund, they'll do the swing pastime, they'll do all the in the water pastime, the eating pastime, the talking with the birds pastime, and so these things are all be constantly rolling. That's why you need 5,000 to 6,000 assistants. Because everything's moving. Because it's a matter of taste. We see in the drama also, as it goes, and when taste is achieved, then that it either, you know, it either transforms into something else, someone else comes on, or they leave. It's just a matter of enough time to bring out the flavor. It's not about the emphasis is not on the jnana shakti. Yeah. You know how mechanically it went through, and hey, wait a minute, we didn't finish this. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cause yeah. It's just like how you say, you don't need a behind the scenes. You know. You know, all the different, you know, assistants going and going to the go-downs and bringing out all the Venus and then, you know, seeing that they're tuned or this or that and then getting to the spot and, you know,
yes.
That's what we have to have. Otherwise, it's not realistic and all that kind of stuff. No, it's a matter of the mood. You know, as we saw, Vrinda can make the creepers go around the trees, make the perfect kunjas like that and all that, and then she can make the flowers, bloom, even though it's not the season for them.
Yes.
You know, so she's arranging all that. So it's not a problem.
It seems like it is another world.
It is another world. It's called the spiritual world.
Yes.
Here, then there's, because here of time and space, things don't work so good. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's more inconvenient. You know, it's like you want to walk from here to the temple, you know, you have to get from here to the temple step by step. But there you see it's just a mood. And the mood, if the cowherd boys are doing something, then it might be more on the walking. But if not, then they're there. You saw, they just start walking. And then Balaram says, oh, here's Vrindavan. You know, so time to go take our bath. So he takes all the cowherd boys and goes takes a bath, and Krishna meets the gopis. You know, so it's about taste, it's about rasa, and so the jnana and kriya shaktis arrange everything behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what's going on is the main thing. Because it's the taste that's important. Because it's connected with Krishna, he is rasa, so there's always going to be a nice taste. Yeah? We're good? There are unlimited universes, and Krishna's pastimes are manifested one moment after the other in all of them. This rotation is explained through the example of the suns moving across the sky. Krishna appears and disappears in innumerable universes, just as the sun appears and disappears during the day. Although the sun appears to rise and set, it is continuously shining somewhere on the earth. Like, just like we see it, it comes up, and then there's a whole day, and then it sets. But where it's setting, that's just the beginning of the day. And for them, in that spot, they see the whole day go by. You know, you move over a little bit more, they see the whole day go by. So that's the example. Although the sun appears to rise and set, it's continuously shining somewhere on the earth. Similarly, although Krishna's pastimes seem to appear and disappear, they are continuously existing in one Brahmananda universe or another. Thus, all of Krishna's leelas are present simultaneously throughout the innumerable universes. There are two types of devotees, the sadhaka, who is preparing for perfection, and the siddha, who is already perfect. As far as those who are already perfect are concerned, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Chaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. After giving up this material body, such a devotee comes to me. After leaving the material body, the perfect devotee takes birth in the womb of a gopi on a planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on. This may be in this universe or another universe. This statement is found in the Ujjwala Nilamani, which is commented upon by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When a devotee becomes perfect, he is transferred to the universe where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. Krishna's eternal associates go wherever Krishna manifests his pastimes. As stated before, first the father and mother of Krishna appear, then the other associates. Quitting his material body, the perfect devotee also goes to associate with Krishna and his other associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Krishna is complete in the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. He is more complete in Mathura and Dwarka, and he is most complete in Vrindavan, Vraja, due to his manifesting all his opulences. Quote, this is stated in the dramatic literature as perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. End quote. Thus, Lord Krishna manifests himself in three ways, perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not manifest all his transcendental qualities, he is called complete. But all the qualities are manifested, but not fully, he is called more complete. When he manifests all his qualities in fullness, he is called most complete. This is the version of all learned scholars in the devotional science. The most complete qualities of Krishna are manifested within Vrindavan, and his complete and more complete qualities are manifested in Dwarka and Mathura. Footnote 80. These are verses from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1, 2.21 to 2.23. Lord Krishna is the most complete Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Elsewhere, all his expansions are either complete or more complete. Thus, I have briefly described Krishna's manifestation of transcendental forms. This subject matter is so large that even Lord Ananta cannot describe it fully. In this way, Krishna's transcendental forms are expanded unlimitedly. No one can count them. Whatever I've explained is simply a little glimpse. It is like showing the moon through the branches of a tree. End quote. Whoever hears or recites these descriptions of the expansions of Krishna's body is certainly a very fortunate man. Although this is very difficult to understand, one can nonetheless acquire some knowledge about the different features of Krishna's body. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
Just to complete the cycle, Jiva originated in a tatastha of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Then, those who are going towards the Lord, but then those who are coming here, they go straight from tatastha into material existence. They don't go apparently through the Bhauma Lila.
Yeah, means where else do you see? See, tatastha shakti has the potency it can bring. It's the place where the spiritual and material can be in the same place at the same time.
Right.
So just like these demons that come into Vrindavan, they're gross materialists.
Yes.
So they're in the material world. But Krishna's associates, they're in the spiritual. So it's the same place. You know what I'm saying? So when we're talking about that tatastha aspect, we're talking about the consciousness.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's just like we gave the example. The yogic Brahmins, they're there in Vrindavan, their wives are there. Their wives are in the spiritual world, they're in the material world. Even though they're in the Dham. You know, it's just like you're here in the Dham, but what are you seeing? You're in the spiritual world, but are you behaving as one in the spiritual world, or are you behaving like one in the material world?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same place. Because without devotion, how do you see and appreciate the Dham? You're going to catch something. So you are there in the spiritual world. But the point is your consciousness is on the level of Brahma. So therefore, then you have an interest in furthering that consciousness. You get the association of the Lord's associates. and then you move forward into the pastimes. Then you attain that Sarup Siddhi. Because without appreciating the Dham, then you're not going to be able to move forward. And if you don't, you won't get their association, so you'll spend your life in Vrindavan doing whatever you're doing, you know, like that, taking out some cows or making cow dung patties or whatever it is that you're doing. And then when the thing goes apricot, then you move on, and then Hari Bo, we have a new Brahma. Right? Because it's mentioned, the first birth is Brahma. The first birth in the material world is Brahma. You know, so that means before that you have to be in the spiritual world. Otherwise, how is it anadi? It's happening before time. So this tathasta is not a space. It's a consciousness.
Yes.
Right. It's the edge of the spiritual potency. So that means you're in the spiritual environment.
So according to this description, both the Nitya Badas and Nitya
Siddhas,
they go through Boma Lila.
Yeah.
Some go up, taking part in the pastimes, and some go down, just neglecting the spiritual part and just, yeah, you know, enamored by material or whatever it is.
Yes. But when we say up, the point is the place is already up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's important to make these, because otherwise sometimes that's too strong. So that whole, one of the main difficulties in this aspect of us coming here is devotees will take it that we're local, that means by time and space we're in Goloka Vrindavan, in Prema. And then we fall from there. And the acharyas say you can't fall from Goloka.
Yeah.
Means within the Boma Lila you can, even though it's the same place, but that aspect of the of Goloka, that you can fall from. You can't fall from there. You know, this demand, no, but you say we were in Prema. No, where does it say we were in Prema? You go back to your natural relationship, but that means that's the relationship. Doesn't mean it was Prema. Just like the son is wandering on the street, he goes back to his natural relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean he had that great affection and everything. But going back now that it can develop.
So Boma Vrindavan basically is a channel from where we came and how we're going back. It's the same.
Yeah, the same place. Why wouldn't it? It's just like you're in human life. You act like an idiot. You go down, and Yamadutas, you know, have a bit of a pot roast or whatever it is that they do, you know, and that, and then you come up to the animal species. Then you're going to come right back to where you started from. Same place, same situation, same KFC on the corner. Just now it may not be Kentucky, it may be Milwaukee, you know how you say, baked chicken, you know, or maybe it's not chicken anymore, now it's goat or something, you know, like that. You know, the Indians have come in and taken over, so now it's goat, you know.
Chinese
could also be like that, you know.
Vegan.
Vegan, yes. So the whole point is that you come right back to where. So the point is, you know, we're always talking fair and just. You go right back to where you were, and now because we've heard about that, our consciousness is positive, so therefore we should move forward. See, you know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes here is that if we want to look at it by time and space, it won't work. It's a matter of consciousness. It means the Dham is a place, but it's not controlled by time and space. It means what you're looking at, you know, here, the sun and moon, this isn't the same one as outside. This is the sun and moon of here. They're different. The stars, it's all different. It may be by Yoga Maya arranged so it looks like what is going on outside. But it's what goes on here is what everybody else is doing. Because this is where, this is the original. Then outside, that's the reflection. Does that make sense? You know, all the living entities here, they've been somehow or another connected with something that, you know.
Because previously, at least I looked to us, is that from the body of Karanda Kashaya Vishnu, being on the Tatastha position, Jiva is injected with that lens into matter.
But that's once we're part of matter. Once we've made that decision, so we're now we're part of the, you know, now we become a Bandha Jeev, then when he glances, then we come in as Brahma. And then, you know, you can go from Brahma, then you have the you know, the sons, then the Prajapatis, the sages, and then after that it's kind of downhill. Yeah, and so that's there. So that's the problem, is we're looking at that, no, he has to come from there and this. No, it's that, the point is you're here. It's that Tathasta energy. So because it's neutral, then you're going to deal with the Lord in the neutral. You take on that and move it, because it's not within time. We're looking, oh, if you come here, then that can't. No, it's a matter of consciousness. And then where do you take shelter? Therefore, then which aspects of the pastimes you're part of. So that's why it's one of those things that's not really a great topic of discussion, because you're dealing with things on a platform that we don't really understand. We demand to see them in our inductive way, but it's not like that at all. You know, we're looking at the tree and the water moving, and one, why isn't the real tree moving? Is this tree real? You know, I like it when it ripples like that. You know, it's so cool. You know, the real tree, oh, what's that? It's easier to climb on the other tree that tops down. The other one, it's up. You know, it's a lot of work. So.
It's a fact. It's not a subject. It's not a regular common subject matter among the devotees, because they can't get their head around it.
No, it's not supposed to be. But devotees, somehow or another, as soon as something comes by that could be taken in that direction, it's immediately caught, and then it becomes the whole thing, and life and death, and over this, and without this, unless it's like this, and how can I have faith, and how can... Yeah, it's just like, you know, so what are you talking about?
And they write a book called Even the Leaves Don't Fall From
Heaven. Yeah, the fun part here is now, who's writing that book? Scholars,
yes.
Right? And who are attached to the rules and regulations, though they think that they're spontaneous like the Goswamis, because they're in the Goswami line, which is known as an upper sampradaya, and so they're like our smartas. But, whatever it is, illusions are always very special. And that they specifically are studying Sandarbhas, which is nice, okay? So they have that academic kind of brain. They think like that. But it means if you're in these pastimes as that, is there not the description that when Krishna goes into Vrindavan and that, you know, that separation, the trees, all the leaves fall off. Not one leaf. They say not even a leaf falls. It's true. Not a leaf falls. All of them fall, you idiot.
It's true. Everything drops.
Everything falls off, and as soon as Krishna comes out, they all come back. They all bloom and all this and that. You know, so that's the whole point, is they think that through their academic acumen that they'll understand all this, and they can't. So therefore, they make a million points about Anadi means, therefore we've always been here and that, but the point is Anadi means it was before time that you fell. You didn't fall from the material platform of time, you fell from the spiritual, where there is no time. Simple. So why would you make a whole book on one word? So that means they're not as smart as they think they are. You know? That's the problem. And then the other book, then it'll have other problems with it. But at least they're trying to support the Acharya. So from that platform, they are definitely more glorious. Maybe not well informed, but more glorious. But the other group, the one who wrote the book you mentioned about the tree and leaves and all that, they have zero spiritual qualification or benefit. Nobody in the spiritual world will accept them. They're not getting into anything anyway. It just doesn't happen. It's fairly good. That's mentioned in Raghma Chandrika. The Brajbasis won't take a person like that seriously. It's written right there. Because they don't have any loyalty. It's about their own intelligence and all this and that. They see something more academic, they go after that. And who wants a guy like that? You don't want. You know, you have this. This is going on. This is going down. You don't want others to know about this. This person may jump ship any time. Who wants them around? No one. So they'll not get anywhere. And then to make a book and then propagate it and try to get... if they've gone out into another Sampradaya, then go and preach to your Sampradaya. Why do they have to come preach to us? All the Wallas who leave, why do they have to preach to us? You went outside? Go for it. No, they have to preach to us. So they don't do any valuable service at all from that platform. You know, their own personal bhajan, this, that, that's a whole nother thing. But on this platform, there is nothing right. So it's sad, but it happens. So that's why then it's not a topic for discussion. When it came up and they wanted the, what do you call it? They call it the sack?
The sack.
A sack. And it's even spelled like the French, you know, sack. S-A-C, sack.
The
sack. Yeah, and that's for sack, yeah, right? You know. Yeah, so that...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So the sack, you know, they're full of spiritual knowledge, you know. It's a special sack, right? You know. So then sack went around and went to, you know, leading scholars and that and the other Sampradayas. And every one of them said, our Acharya said, don't talk about this, so we don't know anything. So we have nothing to say. So if you'd like to go ahead and share your understanding, we'll listen, but it was kind of like more of fun than it was. So, nothing. So Prabhupada said, you know. You know what I'm saying? So something, it comes up now and again, something is there, it's mentioned, some little clarification, but then it's made into this whole thing of justice and this and that, and what about me, and how am I the center of the universe, and all that kind of stuff. And then it becomes very, very disturbing. So it's not important, because the whole point is it's a position of consciousness, because we change our consciousness here. We're in the spiritual world. See, this is the thing. Oh, you can't fall from the spiritual. Who said you can't fall from Goloka? It doesn't say that you can't fall from anywhere. It means we're here in the material world. So is Sri Prahlad in the material world, or is he in the spiritual platform? You know, what are all these great persons? They're all absorbed in the Lord. So if you can be here and be there, why can't you be there and be here? You know? So that's the whole point, is that there's certain biases that we have that we've decided this is the way it is. Oh, there can be no envy in the spiritual world. They never heard of Jatila. You know, they never heard of Aristasura or Agasura. You know, what are they talking about? They decide this is what it is. And then now that becomes the authority. So that's the point. We have to give up all our own made-up religious ideas and accept what the Acharyas say.
Marv, can you please confront something? When you say Tathashta is a matter of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness is the symptom of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that on a tatashta level, the soul at that point is not embodied.
No, it's embodied.
It's embodied.
Because the soul, there's no difference between the soul and the spiritual form. when they become covered, then the body becomes very small. So that's that Prabhupada makes there's lectures where he's saying, why is it that, you know, that why do you make a hat? Why does it have the shape it has, or a glove? Because there's a hand, there's a head, there's a foot. So the whole point is that we think like that, that we have this gross body and the subtle body in this shape is because we have a shape. You know, so this human's a natural shape, and then, you know, animals, other things, it's a perverted shape, you know, according to karma. So the whole point is we have the human body has this shape because this is according to that, it's, how you say, it may not be a great glove, you know, the tailor wasn't so, you know, didn't put as much effort into it because you didn't pay him enough.
Yes.
You know? So you don't have the karma, you don't get a great glove. So the point is he has a spiritual form. So therefore, when you understand the dham, then you understand how you fit into it, and then you and your spiritual form can go on. So with that spiritual form, then you either move forward in the pastimes or turn away and come here. Otherwise, how do you become Bahir Mook if you don't have a Mook? You know what I'm saying? There has to be a Mook. And you can't turn unless you have feet, you know? And have you ever tried to walk without arms? You know, you have to have all that. Then you become Bahir Mook and you go this way. And so we turn around, we go that way. So that's the thing. We're conditioned to a concept of absolute monism. And so we put those on top, just like on karma, we have to get some particular benefits. But the point is if Krishna is Satchitananda, and so therefore eternity, knowledge, and bliss, it's the most wonderful person. If we're involved with him, won't it be nice? No? Yeah. So the point is if we're part and parcel of him, we're connected to him. That's why Krishna probably gives the example of the hand that feeds the stomach, then it gets nourished. But we have this idea, no, I have to mush the rasgula myself, and then I'll get the full benefit. Why should I give it to the stomach? You know, it just sits around. Look, I'm working so hard, moving around, grabbing this and that, stomach just sits there. You know, like that. But no, it's because everything's connected, therefore, then there's no problem. So like that, we'll be happy. That's our natural position. So therefore, in our natural position, with our spiritual form, spiritual senses, intelligence, mind, then we you know, want to further this understanding. So in the association of the Lord's associates, then we move forward into prema. Then that becomes Swarup City, because then we become part of the scene that's going on. Otherwise, we just hang out in our own house. You know? Like that. And then it moves forward. Or if not, then you just hang out in your house, and when the pastime is wound up, then Hari Bol, there's Mahavishnu breathing, you know? Yeah. So in that way, you can say as conditioned souls, we all came from Mahavishnu. Because everybody was, okay, when he breathed out, we're here. While if from there, then you move forward, then you're going to be whoever you're working with in the pastimes. If you're working more under Nityananda, or you're working more under Krishna, then you're going to be part of that scene. So this thing is, oh no, we came out. No, it's the same person. It's just that you decided not to go that way, so then you take up your consciousness and all that. Then yes, you come into the material world from him. And as he says, the Nitya Siddhas, they came from that. Why can't I come from that? I also want, you know, it's more prestigious. You know, why Shankarshan? Why not Balaram? You know? I'm a great guy, so, you know, I got to come from a great guy. You know, but, I mean, the Mahavishnu, he's the biggest of all of them as far as, you know, size goes. So he's great also. And that's why he's called Maha. You know? But, you know, we have our standards.
So, Maharaj, from the spiritual point of view, it's like a special drama, the material world.
Yes.
So the impersonalistic idea is that this tatastha position, that's like desire, you know, to have this consciousness of just tatastha. But actually it's still minus, it's not ideal.
It's negative.
It's negative.
Yeah. Mayavadi is its minus. Yeah. Brahmavadi is its neutral.
Yeah. Okay.
Then Shantabhaktas, which is the same position, but is positive. Yeah. It's positive neutrality. So therefore they develop rati. While Brahmavadis, it's absolute neutrality, so they don't develop rati. So that was the whole point you were pointing out the other day, that the four kumaras, that's what's happening. They're absolute, on absolute, what do you call it?
Neutrality.
As Brahmavadis. Right? Then, you know, because their Brahmavadis have no problem that there's forms and shapes and activities and all this, because it's all Brahman. They're not idiots like the Mayavadis, who say it's all illusion, it's not there. No, it's all there, it's real, it's all Brahman. So then they go, you know, you have the Supreme Brahman, so since they're into Brahman, let's go see the Supreme Brahman. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a very special feature of Brahman, so they go to see him. But when they smell the tulsi leaves, then they see that the happiness there in positive neutrality is greater than absolute neutrality. They move forward into bhakti. Then they become shanta bhaktas.
Yes.
You know. So that's the difficulty. The Mayavadis have done good preaching, so we have these ideas, and the Buddhists, and that has to be nothing, or this or that. No. That's all from fear. Form gives trouble, so therefore being eternally happy, no form. So that it's just fear. And it's not real. There's no such thing. You can't maintain that. You have to, because that's the point. The thought, you have to move one way or the other. So they may be there, and as Brahma, if they move forward, like we see the four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami, they move forward into positive neutrality. Does that make sense? Like that. We also have, I think, other sages like Sage Dandakaranya, things like that, and they move forward into, you know, a particular, you know, higher relationship. They were interested in conjugal. Because Ramachandra is not dealing with that, then put him in Krishna's pastime. So that's also a point how it had to be the same person. Otherwise, why would they be attracted? So that conjugal feature of the absolute truth, that's Krishna. You know, so that of Maryada following the rules, that then he's in the mood of Ram. So they had that conjugal attraction to him, but it's the same person, but he'll deal with them in this other. Because sometimes they may, oh no, it's different, and all, but otherwise, why is it going that way? You understand? So it's also mentioned is that when it was before, it was talking about, I think it was in the Sundarbha, where it's talking about the Jiva, that he comes up to that neutral level where he's not interested in the material world. But he has to move forward to be positive about the spiritual world. So that's our training. That's why our focus is always on Krishna and his pastimes with the devotees, the devotion. So that we just naturally, as we get purified and come to that Brahma-Bhuta platform, we're already positive.
So Brahmavadis, they are still covered by Karma Sharira?
Means if they're here, yes. But when we're talking about the jiva, then in that tatastha state, he has a spiritual form and everything. There's no karana sharira at that time. Mm-hmm. But it's either he has to move forward or he'll go this way. You have to take shelter. We're too small. We have to take shelter of a bigger energy.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, why are we like that? Because if there's big, there's small. Otherwise, then how do you compare? Everything, there's big meaning, you know, perfect, more, there's always. Everything's in threes. So there's going to be internal, external, and marginal. There's threes. You know, sambit, sandini, ladini, you know. Right. Does that make sense? So there's not Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, another Dini. There's no fourth Dini here. Does that make sense? There's always three.
No? Chaturvyuha
has four. But at the same time, as we see, it's three, and then when they're combined, all those qualities, then you have one.
Yeah.
That's another Dini.
Another deity.
Dini.
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 Oh, no. No, that's the... well, that's Vasudev. So we're dealing with something very, very special, and that's the thing. It's such a refined level that other sampradayas don't deal with, don't even know exist. You know, some of their scholars have read about it, and that's why when they meet us, they're impressed with our sampradaya. Yeah, but that means practical scholars, not just armchair scholars. You know? And so they appreciate like that. And so then the point is we're being given something so much. So the highest is being given to the lowest.
Yes.
You know? And then there's complaint about, oh, how can I be the lowest? So, you know, how can I accept this? It says, no, but that's the point. The highest is given to the lowest. So you qualify. You know? Is that okay? You're good?
I'm just trying to figure out one more thing, where the jivas, after the total annihilation, so they enter into Mahavishnu.
The ones in the material world, they go to Mahavishnu, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, if the Mayavad is also bunch up there.
Yeah, they end up there also. Okay. Everybody ends up there. You know, so that stray cat, you know, everybody ends up. You know, that petunia that you forgot to water, it also ends up there.
They are doing so much hard work to get there, but anyway, everybody ends up
there. They end up there anyway. Then he breathes out, and then you're part of the avyakta. So then you have that Vasudeva Sattva. While you're there and asleep, that's like the Buddhist one. Then he breathes out, then you're an avyakta, so then it's like the impersonalist I'm looking for. And then when Brahma creates, then boom, you're in here, and then the karma happens. So the jiva, in one breath, tastes all three. You know, so without working, you get to taste all three. You know, so. So, you know, so therefore their Mayavadis are overrated. Now we good?
Yeah.
Okay. Good? Good? Yeah?
Good fish.
Hmm?
Good fish.
Okay.
Whether it's digestible or not.
Loaded. It.
Good.
But that's loaded, not loaded. this way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That, it's a matter of the wrist, right? Okay, conclusion. Only through the revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Text 353. Right, so there's only through the scriptures. Like we're reading here, then we're understanding these things. And it's not that we haven't heard these things before, but as you go, you see there's more and more understanding each time. You know, it's just like, you know, how you say, Admatata found when he was first doing the first course, he'd read the purport, right? Okay, then, you know, he'd go back, read it again, you know, try to get more details. He'd read it every purport six times. Then the interesting thing is what you see after the sixth reading, that's what he would write down. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then someone who else comes along only reads it once can't understand what he's talking about. You know, so that was the problem with the first book. That's why we redid it so then it could be. And so then, yes, you hear these things many times, and now here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same things we've heard in Gita and heard in Bhagavatam, and that, now we're hearing again. But now they have some slightly, you know, more significance. So that's the point, is only from Shastra It's the basis, like that. Then you then the next thing is that you have to hear that from sadhus, the devotees. That's why, therefore, the acharyas, they all give their comments, and that then that's what we're working on. Right? Saintly persons, sadhus, Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, preach Krishna consciousness on the basis of the Vedic literature. It is only by their mercy that the conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness. 120 purport. So that's why then also the point of the offense to the Vaishnavas is the first offense, because we only know Krishna through the Vaishnavas, because they're then showing us how the scriptures work. Foolish people try to concoct knowledge by manufacturing something in their brains. That is not the real way of knowledge. Knowledge is Shabda Praman, evidence from the Vedic literature, 353 purport. Otherwise, it's Pratyaksha. And we see is that when we are discussing this morning, then according to the covering of the Nimitta, the Jiva Maya, then that includes then your previous samskars. And so that's what's going to flavor what you think about. You know, the intellectuals nowadays will say is, no, we're just doing pure thinking. There's no such thing. You're all going to work on your previous samskars. So unless you're given transcendental samskars, you can't deal with transcendental. You will always deal. It'll be looking at it through colored, you know, vision. Though they won't agree to that because they have no idea about the Lord and His potencies, but that's actually what's happening. So they can't. So that's why if they manufacture their own something in their brains, it's always going to have a material flavor. It'll never be spiritual. Imitating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ignoring the Shastra, rascals present themselves as incarnations and introduce their rascaldom as a religious process. 352 purport. One should accept a thing as genuine by studying the words of saintly people, the spiritual master and the Shastra. The actual center is the Shastra, the revealed scripture. If the spiritual master does not speak according to the revealed scripture, he is not to be accepted. Similarly, if a saintly person does not speak according to the Shastra, he is not a saintly person. The Shastra is the center for all. So it's always that. So Prabhupada always spoke according to the Shastra. This idea is that sometimes it's that, oh no, as the Acharya, he can do whatever you want. No, but what is the meaning of Acharya, you know? Sanskrit, Acharya means one who teaches by example, means he's centered on the Shastra. What he's speaking is according to Shastra. So he doesn't come up with something. Right? Does that make sense?
You actually don't hear Prabhupada say, I think.
No. And if somebody says, so what do you think? It's kind of like, what does it matter what I think? Or is it, I think, and is that, who cares? You know?
Shastra says.
Yeah, Shastra says. The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness on his own effort, but out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literatures and its supplements, the Puranas. Text 122. And then you have to hear that from the devotees. Okay? Unless one refers to Shastra, Shruti, Smriti, and Puranadi, when spiritual activity simply disturbs society. Right, because otherwise if we're saying, oh, all this is from India and all that, and over here we're a different thing, we have to deal differently, or we're unique, you know, you were doing, yes, we're following the Vedic things of this, but we're Westerners, so we're in our own category, we have to have this whole new slant and angle, and you know. That's all bogus. Because unless it's according to Shruti, Smriti, and Puranadi, it's a disturbance to society. You know, a society of those who are trying to go back to Godhead. Maybe for other societies it's not a disturbance. You know, try the Asiatic society or something, they'll probably be cool with it. The Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. Text 353. So it's only through these scriptures, and then the Acharyas, then they comment on this, give us direction, then we hear from the devotees, but it all has to have that connection. You know, Manu mentions that, so that means that's how humans are supposed to work. It's based on the Veda, then we see then there's the Smriti, you know, the tradition by great personalities, then we have the other great other personalities, then they help us, and then we see, okay, how to apply that in my life. But it has to start from that. How that applies to my life. Not my, how my life applies to that. I don't like it, so let's change that so I can live my life the way I want. That's just cheating. Straight up front cheating. Okay. That's part five. So, and here's the six. It's inside. Okay. Six. How many chapters in this Madhyamika?
24.
Yeah, okay, so that means after this is two more. Two more chapters. So it looks like it would be one more book. Okay, so chapter 21, the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna, Sambandha. Sri Krishna's unlimited opulence, elaboration on Triadisha. And Sri Krishna's unlimited sweetness. Chapter 22, process of devotional service, Abhideya, service to the Lord, the devotee, devotional service and attachment. Then, 23, life's ultimate goal, love of Godhead, Prayojana, awakening one's original loving relationship with the Lord, the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, how the transcendental metals appear and are realized. The Lord gives personal instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. So all this is still his. So he has the biggest. Yeah. But I'm saying that's already, we did one, so that means just another. So four chapters are.
Another four chapters.
Are his discussion. Yeah. Chapter 21. The opulence and sweetness of Lord Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna's qualities are infinite and ever expanding. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. Right? Just a fraction. So that's why I said, can bear, and then that love can, how you say? Intensify. Adhyaya Prakashika. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the 21st chapter. In this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully describes Krishna Loka, the spiritual sky, the causal ocean and the material world, which consists of innumerable universes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then describes Lord Brahma's interview with Krishna at Dwarka and the Lord's curbing the pride of Brahma. There is also a description of one of Krishna's pastimes with Brahma. In this chapter, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita has presented some nice poems about the pastimes of Krishna and Krishna's super excellent beauty. Throughout the rest of the chapter, our intimate relationship, Sambandha, with Krishna is described. Shloka Anusharanam. 1 to 32, Sri Krishna's unlimited opulence. 33 to 98, elaboration on Triadisha. And 99 to 149, Sri Krishna's unlimited sweetness. Verses 1 to 32, Sri Krishna's unlimited opulence. 2:21, 1-15. Offering my obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me describe a particle of his opulence and sweetness. He is most valuable for a fallen conditioned soul bereft of spiritual knowledge, and he is the only shelter for those who do not know the real goal of life. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. All glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. All the transcendental forms of the Lord are situated in the spiritual sky. They preside over spiritual planets in that abode. But there is no counting those Vaikuntha planets. The breadth of each Vaikuntha planet is described as 8 miles multiplied by 100. By 1,000, by 10,000, by 100,000, and by 10 million. In other words, each Vaikuntha planet is expanded beyond our ability to measure. Each Vaikuntha planet is very large, and each is made of spiritual bliss. The inhabitants are all associates of the Supreme Lord. and they have full opulence like the Lord himself. This is how the Vaikuntha planets are all situated. Since all the Vaikuntha planets are located in a certain corner of the spiritual sky, who can measure the spiritual sky? The shape of the spiritual sky is compared to a lotus flower. The topmost region of the flower is called the whirl, and within that whirl is Krishna's abode. Like, have you seen out here, when you go on the sugar-free road or whatever?
Yeah.
Then the lotuses out there naturally bloom.
Yeah.
So then you have the whirl, so the leaves come right down like that, and then you see the whirl is sticking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, if you get them, they pick them early, you know, that for the flower guy. So then you look, it's down. But when they open, it's very big. Yeah, the flower will be like that big. And the leaves will be right down, and then that whirl will stick up. So then it says, it's called the whirl. And within that whirl is Krishna's abode. The petals of the spiritual lotus flower consist of many Vaikuntha planets. Each Vaikuntha planet is full of spiritual bliss, complete opulence and space. So they're not crowded like Amsterdam? It's complete opulence and space. And each is inhabited by incarnations. If Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot estimate the length and breadth of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets, how can ordinary living entities begin to imagine them? Okay, quote, O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, Master of all mystic yoga, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing your pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of these activities. Footnote 1. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.21. The spiritual qualities of Krishna are also unlimited. Great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras cannot estimate the spiritual qualities of the Lord. And these are very great personalities. Ones, you know, on that transcendental platform, can appreciate the Brahman platform, you know, or are, you know, beyond, have more qualities than us. We have 50 qualities. Then Brahma and Shiva have 55, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so they can't understand. So, quote, in time, great scientists may be able to count all the atoms of the universe, all the stars and planets in the sky, and all the particles of snow. But who among them can count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living entities. Footnote 2. This verse is also quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7. It's a side note here. The great scientists may be able to count all that. In other words, there's always been people that have been about, measuring the material energy.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, gaining all their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Bhagavatam verse. So it's always been there. So it's not that, oh, it's, things are changed. It's no, there's more of them, that's all. You know, they make institutions. Well, before, they'd always be there. To say nothing of Lord Brahma, even Lord Ananta, who has thousands of heads, cannot reach the end of the Lord's transcendental qualities, even though he is continuously chanting their praises. Quote, if I, Lord Brahma, and your elder brothers, the great saints and sages, cannot understand the limits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of various energies, who else can understand them? Although constantly chanting about his transcendental qualities, the thousand-hooded Lord Sesha has not yet reached the end of the Lord's activities. Footnote 3. This verse is spoken to Narad Muni by Lord Brahma. It is also from Bhagavatam 2.7.41. To say nothing of Anantadeva, even Lord Krishna himself cannot find an end to his own transcendental qualities. Indeed, he himself is always eager to know them. Quote, from here, but then, okay. Okay, then Prabhupada will mention. My Lord, you are unlimited. Even the predominating deities of the higher planetary systems, including Lord Brahma, cannot find your limitations. Nor can you yourself ascertain the limit of your qualities. Like atoms in the sky, there are multi-universes with seven coverings, and these are rotating in due course of time. All the experts in Vedic understanding are searching for you by eliminating the material elements. In this way, searching and searching, they come to the conclusion that everything is complete in you. Thus, you are the resort of everything. This is the conclusion of all Vedic experts. Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-41, which was spoken by the personified Vedas, is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. End quote. Even after searching for the absolute truth throughout the universe, learned scholars and Vedic experts cannot reach the ultimate goal. In this way, they come to Krishna. When there is a discussion about the absolute truth, there is always various pros and cons. The purpose of such arguments is to come to the right conclusion. But, you know, because that's the point of logic, is to find an actual conclusion, right? Mm-hmm. Such an argument is generally known as neti-neti, not this, not that. Until one comes to the right conclusion, the process of thinking, this is not the absolute truth, that is not the absolute truth, will continue. When we come to the right conclusion, we accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the ultimate truth.
Okay. It's interesting that Hiranyakashipu, he was using the neti-neti process, trying to, you know, because Brahma, he said, first he said, make me deathless. He said, it's not possible. Immortal. Yes.
Immortal.
Then he started neti-neti.
Okay, not this, not this.
So it's a demoniac, actually. You can move into positive by negation things.
Yes. So only when you run out of things, now what? Then
doesn't mean it's God or it's any thing. Yeah.
That's why also then the aspect of just getting rid of things. You know, it's just like you see in the modern media, is that all they do is like find faults and that because that's what sells.
Yeah.
You know? Like that. So they're always finding fault. But it doesn't mean that they have in that way pointed out the truth. They always say, well, we're looking for the truth. Okay, nice, but you're not presenting anything positive. There's no research into what is it actually supposed to be. Yeah, so it's not a good approach. 2:21-16-18. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Apart from all argument, logic and negative or positive processes, when Lord Sri Krishna was present as the Supreme Personality of Godhead at Vrindavan, no one could find a limit to his potencies by studying his characteristics and activities. Right? Because that was the way it means you have the primary and the secondary. So his form and all that, then that they could see, the primary aspect, and appreciate. But the secondary, the Tathasta Lakshanas, then they can't come to an end of that. It's unlimited. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say as it starts here, he has this form of Satchitananda, and that's very nicely described in Brahma Samhita and other places. But now, the qualities he manifests with his Sarup means, in other words, all the qualities that come from that Sarup, that then can't be fully explained. Right? At Vrindavan, the Lord immediately created all material and spiritual planets in one moment. Indeed, all of them were created with their predominating deities. We do not hear of such wonderful things anywhere else. Simply by one's hearing of those incidents, one's consciousness is agitated and cleansed. Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Krishna was present in the earthly Vrindavan, Lord Brahma, taking him to be an ordinary cowherd boy, wanted to test his potency. Therefore, Lord Brahma stole all the calves and coward boys from Krishna and hid them by his illusory energy. When Krishna saw that Brahma had stolen his calves and coward boys, he immediately created many material and spiritual planets in Lord Brahma's presence. Within a moment, cowherd boys, calves, and unlimited Vaikunthas, all expansions of the Lord's spiritual energy, were manifested. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasap Pratibhavita Abhis, Brahma Samhita 537. Not only did Krishna create all the paraphernalia of his spiritual energy, but he also created unlimited material universes with unlimited Brahmas. All these pastimes, which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, will cleanse one's consciousness. In this way, one can actually understand the absolute truth. The spiritual planets in the spiritual sky are called Vaikunthas, and each of them has a predominating deity, Narayana, with his specific name. Similarly, in the material sky, there are innumerable universes, and each is predominated by a specific deity, a Brahma. Krishna simultaneously created all these Vaikuntha planets and universes within a moment after Brahma's return. Right, so when he came back, then he showed all this. So that's the thing, is it shows the greatness of the Lord and all that, but then, you know, then some don't want to deal with the chapter because Brahma's made a mistake. But the point is in so doing, it shows that Vishnu is beyond. So even Brahma, and that without the Lord revealing, they can't fully understand. So it's just, it's a glorious pastime.
The difficulty also comes is that if you edit out 13th chapter, then the prayers of Brahma in the 14th chapter, which are very important, they don't make any sense.
Yeah. And then also the cowherd boys, you know, that, you know, there's that the significance Mary, that it was 1 year later that they talked about,
yeah.
Who was it, killing Agasura, like that. You know, so many things don't make sense.
Yeah, it just...
Out of sync. 2:21:19-20. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, according to Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna had unlimited calves and cowherd boys with him. No one could count their actual number. Each of the cowherd boys was tending calves to the extent of a koti, Ardbuda, Shankha, and Padma. That is the way of counting. Right, so, you know, this is how you count, you know, like this. According to Vedic mathematical calculations, the following enumeration system is used. Units, tens, dasa, hundreds, shata, thousands, sahasra, 10,000, ayuta, and 100,000, laksha. 10 times laksha is niyuta. 10 times niyuta is koti, right? Because that's what he mentioned here. He started with koti, which is 10 million. 10 times a koti is an arbuda, so 100 million. 10 times arbuda is a vrinda, that's a billion. 10 times a vrinda is a karva, that's 10 billion. 10 times karva is near nikarva, that's 100. 10 times nikarva is shankha. We already did 100, so a trillion. 10 times shankha is a padma, so 10 trillion. 10 times the padma is sagara, so that's 100. Million. 10 times sagar is antya, so that's a quadrillion. And 10 times antya is madhya. So 10 trillion. 10 times madhya is prarardha.
100 quadrillion.
Yeah. So like that. So they have names, you know. You see, it works in those groups like that. That's why you see in the Indian calculation when they write the number, They you know, the hundreds will work like we do, but then they'll again do it after two. Because it's intense. Yeah. So we start like that, but then we don't keep it going. We do it in 3-3-3-3. But they do it in 2-2-2. So you see they put a comma, and then they put the one. So 100,000 is one with a comma. Like that. I guess the next one will be, you know, 10 of those, and that'll be that, there'll be a comma like that. So.
The commentaries on 10th canto, the Sanatana Goswami, he said the reader may be bewildered by all these big numbers. He said that Krishna worked it out, that he puts everything into groups, groups of cows, groups of gopis, groups of cowboys, groups of families. So you can count easily by groups.
Mm.
You watch everything by groups.
Okay, cool. Okay. Tanya, guys, extend the koti, our Buddha. So you know this one has a koti, this one has our Buddha, that has a shankha, that has a padma. And then there's a head.
Right.
Like in the cows, there's one cow that's the head of a group. And that, you call that cow, all the other cows come with them. Each item is 10 times greater than the previous one. Thus, all the cowherd boys, who are companions of Krishna, had many calves to take care of. Right? And so, this is the cowherd boys when they had calves. We're not talking about the cows. These are, they're still small. They hadn't graduated the calves yet. So, you know, like that. One kid, one koti of calves. Like that.
They're all mathematicians.
Yes, yes. They're pretty good. Okay, so... Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.